Hi everyone, I'm Grace.
And I'm Max.
Welcome to Curiously Enough. This is a space to shine a light on the shadows we hide in. This is a conversation to relieve the heaviness of silenced topics. Here's to getting honest and getting real, feeling inspired and less alone. Thank you for joining us on this road to rediscovering the truth of who we are.
Please subscribe and share. We're grateful for your support. Enjoy this week's episode of Curiously Enough.
It is my pleasure to introduce our guest for today, Diane Herron. Diane took her oath in office in Pennsylvania as Westchester's mayor on January 2, 2018. For 15 years, Diane has served the borough as chair or member of several committees, including the Comprehensive Plan Task Force, the Sustainability Advisory Committee, and the Shade Tree Commission. During this time, she has also effectively advocated for quality of life issues impacting residents. In 2007, she led a successful effort to keep building heights in the downtown reasonable and help preserve the historic brand that makes Westchester so special. Diane is committed to ensuring effective communications with residents and business owners, and she works to help unite our diverse community behind our shared aspirations and through creative problem solving. She is Vice President of Practical Energy Solutions, a borough-based commercial energy efficiency and renewable energy consulting firm serving school districts, municipalities, and commercial businesses through the Philadelphia region.
And if you would like to know more about the mayor's work and involvement within the community, please make sure to visit her website at www.mayordianeherron.com.
Thank you so much for being here, Mayor.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here with you today.
Yes. So the one thing that is not mentioned in the intro that'll be the main part of our discussion today is the fact that you started an opioid task force. And I would love if you could share with us and with our listeners, what is that and why did you start it?
Yeah, I would love to share that story with you. It was funny because I think it was the day after I was elected and I wasn't officially installed as mayor yet. I received a call from a resident who has a sibling who struggled with addiction for quite a few years. And he asked me if I would do something on the hyper-local level to help the community. And I said, sure, you know, I would love to meet with you. And over the ensuing months, I received other calls from other residents who had very similar stories, friends, neighbors, loved ones who are struggling with this disease of addiction, primarily opioid addiction. And I realized that if there was something I could do to help our community, it would be to form this task force and bring us all together so that we could work together to help address it on the very local level. And so that's what we did. It's one of the first initiatives I undertook when I became mayor.
My hat goes off to you for that, especially because, I mean, within what, like the first day or two, like you're already starting this. And I can't imagine as somebody, you know, who just became mayor, you probably have a laundry list of things that you need to do and places you need to be and people you need to talk to. And like, you just go for it and you're like, I'm going to make this happen. And I love that. And I guess I want to lead by just asking you, when you started up this task force, and you know, you and I and Grace, we all know that addiction and things that are connected with addiction are very stigmatized and they're kind of uncomfortable to talk about. Did you find the community receptive and engaged in this task force?
I did. You know, I have to say, I immediately saw how important this was and how much our community needed it. Because people just came out of the woodwork. We had our first several task force meetings, and after that, people would just show up, and I didn't know who they were. They would introduce themselves and sit around the table, and before we knew it, at any given task force meeting, we would have sometimes 30 people. And these were all people who either lived in our community, as I said before, and have experienced firsthand what it's like to either struggle with addiction or to have a loved one, friend, family member who was struggling. And many people who showed up are people who are working professionally as counselors, and some work for the county and other organizations, and people just like yourselves who are working to help others in many capacities. So it just made me feel really, really good to have the platform and the ability to be able to do this for our community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, and that's, again, it's so good to hear that when you created that platform, people showed up, and people that you wouldn't expect to be there or had never met. I mean, that's what's so beautiful about something like this, about a task force or a community initiative, where all of a sudden people just needed the space to show up, but they've been wanting to do so. And I think it trickles out, even if people don't show up to the meeting, it trickles out and people are joining in their own way. Maybe we don't see it or you don't see it, but they're involved and they care. And so they show up in their own way. But maybe even just hearing that there is a task force around awareness for this horrible disease of addiction gives them that push or makes them feel a little less alone in doing whatever work they're doing. So I think it's really cool when we hear someone start something like this or just start a movement in a way that there's people in it that are showing up, but it's also helping people outside of it that we don't even see. So that's really awesome, which would lead me to ask you then, what does the task force do as far as participating with the community or awareness or resources? What does that look like after those meetings? What takes place?
Yeah, so what we did, just to give you some context, is when we first started, we sat down and we created a mission for our group so that we could have a focus and be sure that we actually achieved some impactful things in our community. So we came up with three goals. And one is, as you talked about before, is that this can be hard to talk about and there's a lot of stigma around it. So one of our primary goals is to destigmatize opioid addiction and help people understand that just because someone may be addicted to a substance, that doesn't mean that we should view them as an addict. They are people. They are our friends, as I said. They're our loved ones. They're our neighbors. And we have to be really conscious to make sure that we treat them with the respect that they deserve and understand that they are very, you know, complex people. One big goal was to destigmatize opioid addiction. Another was to share resources at the very, very local level, because we're extremely fortunate here in Chester County to have many, many resources at our disposal. Even for people who don't have insurance, there are resources available, and we want people to know that these resources exist, that you can pick up the phone and you can find someone on the other end who's there to help and who understands what you're going through. And there are also lots of support groups for families as well, which is critically important because families are very significantly impacted by this when someone in the family is struggling with addiction. And so we wanted to be sure that we provide resources to the families as well. And our third goal, and it's something we're pretty excited about here in Westchester, is to provide social opportunities that are not centered around substance use. Anyone who comes to Westchester knows that we have quite a few bars. So I want to be sure people know they can come to Westchester and it's not going to be centered around alcohol, that we can have a really great, fantastic time together without the substance use. So those are our three goals, and we have spent the past year and a half working on projects that actualize these goals. And when I look back, I'm so impressed with this task force because we have accomplished an awful lot, and I'm so proud of all the members.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so much good stuff in there. And just to, I guess, share with the audience, Grace and I have attended a couple of these meetings, and it's not a meeting where you go and you kind of just sit around, you talk, and maybe just share like what happened over the weekend. Like, this group like gets things done. and I love that. I mean, you guys get right to the point, which is what it's all about.
Yeah.
But you shared some great stuff. And one, just to kind of highlight, addiction is a family disease, and that mm-hmm. time and time again, you know, we are looking at just the person that may be using, when really there are other people that play a role in what's happening. So not only is it important to provide the resources and treatment to that person directly, but also to the families. I mean, arguably they need it just as much as the addict or the alcoholic themselves. And two, just to kind of highlight again, that just humanizing this addiction piece, and that it doesn't discriminate, and that we're seeing people struggling with addiction who are neighbors and parents and teachers and doctors. I mean, this stuff happens to everyone. So I just love how you kind of mentioned that, and it's so important to talk about. And one other thing that you mentioned was that alcohol does play a role in Westchester and the surrounding towns. And if you're up for it, I'd love to just kind of see if maybe you would want to share with us in the audience about some of the insight with alcohol consumption and the role that law enforcement might be playing with that.
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting question you asked, because I'm not sure a lot of people know this, but the primary assigned responsibility of the mayor is to be the civilian head of the police force. And we have, we're soon to have 44 full-time police officers in our 1.8 square mile community. Wow. And part of the reason for that is because we do have quite a few bars that when they let out at, 2:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, we have to contain the people who leave the bars, because the impact of alcohol on people's lives and on their behavior is so significant. And on the community itself, the impacts are very, very significant. And it's not something I really understood until I became mayor. And I actually went out several nights on some bar tours at midnight, 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. so I could see for myself. And, you know, when you look at all of the drug use in this country, the one that has the greatest impact on families, on communities, and on budgets, police force budgets, and, support service expenses is alcohol. And alcohol is definitely what I would consider to be kind of a gateway to use of other substances. So I think it's really important that we have that conversation and we talk about alcohol, because it's an important component of this whole sort of disease of addiction that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I think, you know, opioids are obviously a big problem right now. And even in just the community, if we just start there, it's been very unfortunate to hear of so many overdoses and deaths. And if we span out larger, it's pretty prevalent and it's not really going anywhere, which I'm curious. I know as you are mayor, so you're involved primarily with Westchester, but do you see a rise in awareness in other counties or towns or statewide, or even spreading out from there? You know, take what you want from this question. I'm just curious, being at that level of government and seeing what are people doing about this problem, what kind of trends are you seeing, or no trends, whatever you're observing.
Well, it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of good work going on, but then there are other things that sort of lead in the other direction. You know, as I think we know, that oftentimes when it comes to addiction, it's intertwined with mental health concerns. And so I see so many people working really hard to help support mental health services in Chester County and in Westchester and in our community. And in fact, here in the borough, one of our police officers, Corporal Jeff Gallo, is especially trained in identifying and supporting those with mental health issues. And we're hosting a free first aid mental health training program here at the borough, and he's going to be teaching that for the community. So I see some really great work going on as far as that concerned. On the other side of the coin, I think we've all heard about the push to legalize marijuana, and even out in, I think, Denver, that they just voted to decriminalize magic mushrooms. And so knowing what I now know about the impact of alcohol on the community and on the demand for police services and the importance of really supporting our friends and neighbors in a compassionate way, I'm concerned that that's moving us in the wrong direction. Because when we talk about legalization and we look at the way some of the other states have legalized marijuana, they have done so with kind of a no-holds-barred approach, and it has become extremely commercialized and even corporatized to the point where you can go down to the corner store and you can buy an edible that has very high concentrations of THC, which is a hallucinogen, and it has increased the rates of car accidents and increase the rates of hospitalizations. And a new study that just came out in the peer-reviewed literature showed that it has also led directly to psychosis in some people. So I think in some respects, we are really caring for our fellow man, and in other respects, we're sort of overlooking the obvious. And I think we have to really slow down when it comes to you know, like unfettered legalization of substances.
Yeah.
That was kind of a long-winded answer to your question.
That was great. It was very well said, and I agree. And it's, I was just sitting here and thinking that, you know, I've done some traveling, you know, in this area and then throughout the country. And I'm feeling just a lot of gratitude because, you know, Chester County and even this side of Pennsylvania has done so much good work, and we've been able to really go out in the community and provide awareness and education and appropriate services. So as much chaos is going on right now in this country with legalization and the opioid crisis and everything, you know, I do feel as if our community is making some good progress. And I wanted, you know, to give you this opportunity just to kind of share with us and our audience, you know, what are some of the positive changes you've seen within this community because of the task force?
Yeah, well, I'd have to agree with you. Our county is amazing here in terms of the awareness and the support services and the people who are helping others. I mean, I have been profoundly touched. And as far as the task force, I think that we have clearly made a difference because I get emails and phone calls from friends and neighbors who, you know, these are kind of private and they don't necessarily want to talk about it. But they know that, as you mentioned earlier, Grace, that this is happening here, and they have support from all levels of the community, and they're telling me their stories. And I know just by our very existence that it is making a difference for people. One of the reasons I ran for mayor is so that we stop brushing some of these things under the carpet and we talk about them and we share and we support each other. And when we do that, it can make a profound difference in the lives of people who live here. So I think that's one thing that our task force has done that I'm just really proud of. We have also had 3 free events at the Oscar Lasco YMCA. They have so graciously partnered with us, and we've had panelists, we've had experts talk about the impact of addiction on the brain, the impact of addiction on the family, and we had a resource fair. So the first 2 events were incredibly successful, and the people who came, I think, were just so glad to have a place to go, a place to ask questions, and a place to learn and to share their experiences. I think through all of this work, we're helping to destigmatize this crisis.
Yeah, no, well said. And any event that brings awareness to the community in a gentle way, right? Because I think for people that are familiar with addiction or recovery, any event that says either of those words on the flyer is like, cool, yeah, I'm down. And then you get someone that has no business in that area, doesn't know anything about it, is probably a little bit more hesitant. One thing I was thinking about, as you mentioned, the training that the officer is doing around, I forget exactly the way you worded it, but noticing signs of mental health if there's a crisis. Do you see a lot of people bringing up mental health now that you've kind of gotten on the soapbox and said, hey, I care about addiction and I'm going to bring this into our community and I want people to come into it as well? Do you see mental health being like paired up? Because I mean, there's a lot of connection there. And specifically, I know for my story, I dealt with both. And so it's always neat to see the connection. But I know that when we're talking it, I'm backing up what I'm saying. I know that with the opioid task force, we're talking about opioid addiction primarily and branching out to other addictions. So if not, totally okay. I'm just super curious if you see that coming up.
Actually, I do. And, you know, I think what this does is it gives people a license to share where they may have felt uncomfortable doing so before. But there is no question that mental health issues are on the rise among teens in particular. And I've definitely seen kind of a rise in I guess, the willingness of people to share their stories. And just that in and of itself is healing, especially if you're a parent who's dealing with it. You know, the ability to share with someone else who understands and have support is really important. So I am seeing that kind of bubble up to the surface.
And I'm glad that is starting to come up too, because I think, you know, this is just my experience. Mental health almost carries a little bit more stigma than addiction, and still two topics that are definitely stigmatized, but there is something about mental health that keeps it a little bit more quiet. So I'm thrilled that, you know, people are starting to share their story and just starting to speak up in general within the community. But I do kind of want to ask you and kind of bring this to the table as far as, you know, just because you have really used your position and your role within the community to your advantage to really put yourself out there to help and to serve with addiction. And I guess I wanted to hear your input about, you know, what would you say to somebody who lives in this community who may be struggling with addiction and mental health and doesn't really know how to get help or what's out there or any of the resources?
Yeah, I guess I would say that there are people waiting to help you. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, through my experience with this task force, I have met people who, because they have been through this themselves, they care so deeply, and it has become essentially their life missions to help others who are ready to be helped. And so there is support and there is help, and created the Mayor's Opioid Action Task Force website so that people could go to the website to find these resources. And there are phone numbers there of people you can call, and they will help you kind of navigate through the system and the resources that are available that might suit you the best. And that website is www.opioidactionwc.org.
There was one thing when Max was asking you a question, I actually thought he was going to ask you a different question. So since he didn't ask that one, I'm going to ask it. I don't know why I thought you were going to ask this. I was like, he's for sure going to ask this. If someone, and this just really fascinates me, if someone in this community were to come up to you and say, addiction's not here, it's not present here, I don't really, know why you're doing this, but it's not in our community, how would you respond to that?
That's a great question. And one way we're responding to that with something that I think is really powerful is that we are creating a local documentary, and it contains interviews with 10 of our neighbors, our friends. I think one of them is a local teacher, people who have been through this, and some who are still struggling. And we've done this very intentionally so that people who ask that question can see for themselves that it is here and it is right here. And they can hear the stories of these people in our documentary. And chances are they will recognize or know at least one of them. And I think that's a really powerful way to answer that question and to destigmatize the issue of opioid addiction.
Sure. Yeah. And I laugh. I shouldn't be, but that seems to be a common reoccurrence with, Grace and I talking to people, is that, we'll go up to a parent or, maybe somebody in the school system, and we'll ask that question, do you believe addiction and substance abuse is present in the community? And they're like, oh no, this is Chester County. It's such a nice area and we have a great school system, or if the parent might say this is a good home and we teach our kids morals and values and, all those things are great, but it still isn't enough to just totally eliminate the idea that addiction could be present.
Yeah. And I think there's so much shame around it, which again, by fighting that stigma with awareness, shame can be banished. But even in the community I grew up in or other smaller towns that maybe people are like, no, we're doing good over here. But just because it's not like everyone's addicted doesn't mean that there's not a problem. Exactly. If it's there, then it's a problem. And I think it's that simple, really.
Yeah, and I would have a lot to say about that because, what I've learned is that behind the doors of the homes in our neighborhoods, people are suffering from addiction, which to some degree, for some people, it is a disease of isolation. And they remain isolated because sometimes they're afraid to come out and talk about it. And we are changing that. The other thing is, we did the documentary because I believe stories are much more powerful than statistics. Mm-hmm. However, in 2018, there were 118 overdose deaths in Chester County. And in 2017, there were 153 overdose deaths. And those are just the deaths. Our police force here carries Narcan, which is the antidote to opioid overdose, and they administer it fairly routinely right here in Westchester. Mm-hmm. So it's not a disease that has anything to do with morals and values. It has nothing to do with that. It is a disease of addiction. and it is impacting so many people, regardless of age, sex, income, race, religion, or anything else. It is a non-discriminatory disease.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. And it's just important. I know that we've talked about this throughout the podcast today, but, you know, I know for my family and even the people that I know, like, we need to continue to hear that, because we can convince ourselves that, like, it's not a problem, or it's not that big of a deal, or, you know, there comes this point where, like, denial totally takes over, and it's like, this isn't a problem. And so I'm glad that you shared your insight, and I'm also glad that you took the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us. I know that you have other commitments and priorities to do throughout your day and your week. So Grace and I are truly grateful to have you on today. And how we typically kind of end each episode is that we ask the person we're interviewing, what does the world need more of?
Oh boy. I think the world needs more truth and honesty, and I know we have a lot of compassion, but we could always use more of that too. Mm-hmm. I think that when we're open and compassionate and honest and willing to share, then we can meet each other at our most basic level of humanity, and we can help each other and lift our communities up.
Agreed.
Yeah, no, and I love that. I don't know if anyone's said honesty or truth yet. So I appreciate you for saying that, because I think a lot of things start there. A lot of growth starts there, and change starts there. But yeah, just as Max said, I'd like to say thank you. And we're very grateful that you came on here to share your mission and the passion you have for your community, to bring more awareness to our listeners, to just talk about topics that we don't typically talk about. We're very thankful that you took time to do this with us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this, and I want to thank both of you for what you're doing as well, for sharing this important information with everyone.